This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, I'm Kelly, and I'm incredibly proud to be an Over the Influence community member. When I became a member, I got a double dose of the podcast every week, now that I had access to the premium pod, and I also loved the in-person Zoom calls, basically just getting to know like-minded people. Personally, it's been just over a year since I changed my relationship with alcohol, and I've honestly never felt better. My head is clearer, my relationships with friends and family members are better, and overall in life I just have way more energy. Thankfully, I never had a rock bottom, but Over the Influence made me realize I didn't need one. It's never too late to change for the better. So thanks for being there for me, OTI, and keep up the great work.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome. This is Over the Influence, the greatest alcohol-free podcast in the world. Self-proclaimed by myself, of course. And myself is Joey. With me today, my co-host Charlie. I'm sure you've heard her voice before. And of course, we've got background Ben in the background. We've taken his mic away from him today. We've got a good one today. It's going to be pretty fun. We're talking about SoberSoc, our sober society in the uni. Charlie, you're the president. Over to you. What is Sober Society?
I am the president. Well, I guess SoberSoc is just a kind of thing that I made because I was worried about not having friends that didn't drink. But it's kind of evolved into a lot more than that. And we do have weekly... Well, we've done loads of different events, to be honest. We've done loads of stuff, but every week we have Sober Circle, which is basically where we sit around in a circle and chat shit.
That is literally the definition now. That's the definition that
when
I
anyone
started,
asks,
that's
what I say.
We're going with. Yeah, we do though. We pick a topic, we have a little theme, and we just chat shit about it, basically.
We just chat shit, yeah. And, well, we've recently introduced Sober Squares as well, which is fun, when we all bring in our own little project, whether it's a bit of writing or a bit of sewing or whatever you do. We just sit on square tables and chat to each other, get to know each other. And we just mix it up, really. But basically what we did last week was we just kind of asked the people who came to Sober Circle a few questions so that we could give a sort of landscape of what it's like for other sober young people, other sober students that aren't just me and Joey. And yeah, we got some really, really interesting answers, wouldn't you say?
We definitely did indeed, yeah. So we started out, what are the reasons people had for going sober? That's basically the most important thing. If you're going to do it, you're not just going to do it for any odd reason. There's normally a reason behind it. And yeah, so we asked a whole bunch of people, a survey kind of was, and survey said being a drunk mess. That was the first one, wasn't it? I mean, what was someone said? So someone said, I'm just a fucking mess.
Yeah, a few people said I just act like a twat. Yeah. Which is relatable. not liking myself, acting like a bit of a dick when you're drunk, acting in ways that don't represent who I am. That was quite a common one as well, yeah. Which I really felt.
Yeah, that one hit home, didn't it? As soon as someone said that, I was like, oof, you're so right. Like, you wouldn't, sometimes, you know, you when you're drunk, and especially when you're getting blackout drunk, you do things that you wouldn't normally ever do. And like, you start to realise it after you go sober, like, holy shit, I did a lot of things that, like, I wouldn't have ever normally done. And yeah, like, I'm more myself now, you know, like, after being sober. I think, I counted, by the way, I have an app that counts, 972 days, we're getting close. We're getting close to 1,000,
almost
man.
Almost 1,000.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Almost in the comma club, you know. But yeah, it's so true. Now that I look back on it now, like, I'm so much more myself. I'm so much more happy with myself. Like, I stay true to myself because I'm able to know who that is, who I am, and be that person.
Exactly. Yeah, also I've got in here getting too pissed at the wrong time, so like being a drunk mess at the wrong moment. I've got quite a good story about this, actually.
Oh, go on.
I don't know if I should tell it, it's quite horrendous.
Nah, you've said it now.
So yeah, I was with my ex-boyfriend, and his family were staying in this cottage, and we were going to go and stay with them, and you know, I was really excited, it would be really wholesome. It was like his whole family, who I hadn't really met before. including like his siblings and his siblings' partners. We bought my dog because he didn't have anywhere to go. And already when we arrived, my dog and their dog were like not liking each other. So that was already stressing me out. This is the first time I've met a lot of them. So obviously the go-to in a situation where you feel a bit stressed is to just get a bit pissed. So, you know, it was probably like 4 or 5 in the evening, in afternoon evening when we arrived. And his mum offered me a drink and I, of course, accepted. I don't think I ever didn't accept a drink when it was offered to me. And I just ended up getting really drunk. And anyway, about midnight, everyone goes to bed apart from me, his sister and his boyfriend's girlfriend. So it's just me and these two girls who I've never met before. I'm the youngest out of everyone. And I'm just chatting away, like literally making them drink after drink. We're just staying up chatting. I smoked at the time and I didn't have any ciggies. No, I did have cigarettes, but I didn't have any papers. And so I went into my bag and I found old receipts and I like made cigarettes using old receipts. Smoked them. And the other two didn't smoke. They were just watching me do this. Like, I honestly don't know what could have been going through their minds. Anyway, I don't remember anything after about midnight, but I was told the next day, this is from my point of view, the next day I wake up at 5 p.m., no idea what's happened. Apparently, I stayed up with those two until 9 in the morning when everyone got up to watch the rugby. I have literally no idea what state I was in. Like, this was the first time I met so many of them. And then when I came to bed, I was for some reason annoyed with my ex-boyfriend and decided to sleep on the floor where I pissed myself.
Oh, jeez. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, and that, you know what? The depressing thing about that was when I went out to meet everyone who were already out at the pub, because, you know, we're on a little vacation or whatever, and I sat down with everyone, you know, everyone's like, oh, how's your head? And you just, like, head in your hands, like, what have I done? And I had a pint because I didn't know how else to deal with that.
Oh, of course. Great idea.
So getting too drunk at the wrong time is definitely one of my specialities.
Yeah,
do you have any stories, Joey?
Yeah, I mean, I could probably think of a few. The first one that comes to mind is like, well, okay, so for starters, it was my 18th, right? I just turned 18, so it seems like the right time to go out and get absolutely pissed. I mean, you would think, right? Mm-hmm. And as the night went on, I invited loads of my friends from like different friendship groups, different circles, meeting together. It was a lot of fun. And then I remember doing, I can't remember what it was. It was like 4 Jaegers and then whiskey as well. And I just slammed them all in a row and then slammed them all down and just went, whoa! I started screaming. Got asked to leave. And then, so as I was like, I didn't leave. I'm not going to lie. I was just like, no, it's my 18th. I'm having fun. Which wasn't like me at all. Like, I'm not the type of person to start an argument, but like, no, I'm not fucking leaving. But yeah, so later on the night, apparently, so I don't remember anything from that point, right? Slamming 5, whiskeys, whatever it was. And then I wake up the next morning in my bed with my two best mates sleeping in the same room as me. And I'm half naked. And I'm like, did you guys... What just happened? Like, can we just address this? And they were like, yeah, dude, we thought you were a mess, mate. There's no way you're gonna go sleep in those clothes. Like, they're disgusting. Looked over the corner, pile of clothes. Yeah, they didn't look good. A bit of beer on them or whatever it was. It turns out, like, I was like, how did we get home? Like, I literally don't remember a single thing from last night. What happened, boys? And they were like, you genuinely don't remember? I was like, all right, let's not go through this. Just tell me what happened. Turns out, for about like a 30-minute walk, right? It's like a 30-minute walk from where we were to my house. And these boys, my two boys, were carrying me, bro. It's like I was like a cross. You know what I mean? Like my arms around either one of their shoulders. They're lifting me up. They're dragging me home. My feet aren't even moving, apparently. I'm just getting dragged home. And apparently as well, they're so tired from dragging me home that they like stop me outside of like a chippy, you know, like a takeout, right?
Yeah.
And for some reason, they decided to take my wallet out of my pocket and then use my money to pay for their food. And I'm like, well, all right. I mean, I wasn't in a state to say anything. I don't even remember it happening. And apparently, like, they leaned me up against the wall and just hoped that I'd stay upright. And they had to, like, keep getting me back upright. Like, no, Joey, stand up. Not down on the ground. Stand up. And then, yeah, so I think I was sick at one point in the night as well. Probably was. But then the next morning, this is why I said earlier, it started out to seem like, yeah, the right time. It's your 18th. Go crazy. But the next morning, I was traveling to Sheffield University. as like on like a campus tour to like see what the university was like, to see if I wanted to go there. And mate, I was an absolute mess. Like, I woke up that morning feeling utter shit. I didn't have a clue what was going on. And I was like, right, Joey, you need to get a train to Sheffield now. And I'm like, now? And they're like, yeah, Joey, it's 8 a.m. You've got to go now. And I was like, oh my God, I'm already late. I get on the train, right? I meet up with my two mates on the train. They're like, Joey, you feeling okay? You were going crazy last night, you know? And I was like, yeah, I kind of was, wasn't I? And literally as soon as after I said that, and they sit opposite me on the train, and I just throw up on the train. It's disgusting.
What, just on the floor?
Yeah, there's just a pile of sick on the floor of the train. And like, these guys get up. I've never seen two people move so quickly. They just dive out of the way. And do you know what the most embarrassing thing was, mate? I was too fucked to like tell anyone or clean it up. So we just moved to another carriage. We got to Sheffield and everything went good. I was knackered from seeing all the universities and whatnot. But yeah, man, just throwing up in the carriage. So like, that's funny. Not me. That is the wrong time to do it. Like going on a university tour, getting dragged around the campus, the library. And I'm just there like, I can't even walk, mate.
Yeah. I think that brings us quite nicely to the second most popular reason for quitting alcohol, and that is hangovers. Just in general, people will say, you know, the next day's ruined, and some people were saying the next 2 to 3 days are ruined. And for me, it was like that. Like, I would finally recover probably 3 days later, and by that point, I'm ready to drink again, you know?
So much of, like, my time has been wasted. Literally. What have I been doing?
And we were saying, we met up the other day, and we were saying about when you stay out all night and then you get an Uber home and it's like the early hours of the morning, and you know that the Uber driver's gone to bed and got up like early, like a normal functioning human being. And you're just in the back of the Uber and you're forced to just have this moment to reflect, and you're like, what the fuck am I doing with my life?
Honestly, that moment is hell. Like, you're sat in an Uber, you're sat in like a confined metal box, and you have nowhere to go. You can't just open the door and jump out. And like, you're just forced to sit there alone with your thoughts, like, oh my God, I don't want to be here right now, get me home. It's the most terrifying experience because you don't have a choice to just sit there and think, I am a fucking mess.
But just like, my hangovers were so bad. Like, I'd feel so much dread, so much anxiety. If I blacked out, I'd be like, what happened last night? I don't remember anything. Oh, I'd be throwing up, awful headaches, shaking, sweating. I'd be clammy for the whole day. It would just be bleh, bleh.
I mean, I don't think there's such a thing as a good hangover. You know what I mean? And like, they are just gonna get worse as your body gets older. You're just there like, oh, I can't do this anymore. Like, sometimes like you get to a certain age and like you can't even go for a run. You can't without like having to wait like so long to cool down and like refresh, and you're just sweating all the time. And it just takes so long for your body to recover. I haven't reached that stage yet, I'm just saying.
Now, for me, it was always bad. Like, you do hear people say your hangovers get worse as they get older, but mine were bad from the beginning, to be honest. I mean, when I was 14 and I used to drink, you know, just like a few shots of vodka and be wasted, I'd wake up the next day fresh, you know, that was standard. But like, from about 16, my hangovers were absolutely brutal, like just grim. And they're only going to get worse, like from everything I've heard, you know. People say, oh, hangovers are fine when you're young, and then when you get to my age, they're awful. And I'm like, how much worse can they get? Like, I don't fucking live through that.
It's not something that I ever look forward to. Like, because when you think about it, I was like, yeah, it's not going to get any easier. It's not going to feel any better. It's not like you build up a tolerance to hangovers. So it's bad now, yeah, it's just going to get worse. So I guess that's another great reason for going sober when you think about it. Like, the longer you do it, the more pain you're gonna go through.
Exactly. It's like a cumulative pain.
Literally.
And then sort of from there, we've got the kind of not just the next day or the next few days, but the kind of medium or long-term effects, like the next month or the next year. Because I know it's something that's quite important to you, Joey, like just like your goals and prioritizing your health and stuff. And I was not doing any of that.
that's so true. Like, honestly, I talk about this all the time. In life, you've got to have a list of priorities. You've got to have your core values. What's most important to you? What's the second most important thing to you? Is it your career? Is it your health? Is it like your physical health, your mental health, going through uni, your family, whatever it is? Have a list of priorities. But then when you start drinking and doing all sorts of crazy shit, that just takes over those priorities. And then all of a sudden, going out and getting fucked becomes priority number one, and you're like, how did I get here? And I'm a very goal-orientated person. Like, I like setting goals and achieving them. But you just can't do that. Like, you don't have the capacity to set goals Not even, like, you don't have the capacity to achieve goals, but you don't even have the capacity to, like, set goals in the first place. So, yeah, it just messes with your priorities, and you need to think, like, a year from now, am I still going to be doing what I'm doing now? Is that what
definitely.
I want to be doing?
And I think even people who are probably a bit less extreme than us, you know, people who kind of just go out with their mates once a week or whatever, even then it's like, that does affect you, and it does take time out of your day, and it does sort of stop you from being, we always come back to this, being my best self, but it does stop you being your best self, like, even if it's kind of moderate. Like, ours were a bit extreme, but a lot of people in SoberSoc weren't really extreme. Like, I can think of a few especially who were just kind of moderate and just didn't like it and didn't feel like they were living up to their potential. And I think that's a really valid reason, you know, to be like, why not give up? Like, why not?
Yeah, that's a great question. Like, so many people ask, like, why did you stop drinking? No one really asks, why not? You know, that's just as much as a valid question. And yeah, like that, like what you just said, it sort of goes back to that point. You don't have to hit rock bottom to think, nah, maybe this isn't for me. Like, you could just think, I just don't really enjoy it. Like, I feel like I could be doing so much better. Like, why would I not want to be the best version of myself? Why would I not want that? You know, why not?
Exactly. And even, like, if you don't like thinking about really big, you know, extreme, like, yearly goals or whatever, just, like, the medium term, like, the kind of day-to-day, week-to-week general happiness and feeling like you're on top of shit, like, that, you know, I think people underestimate, like, the power of that, even if it's not some really deep goal or whatever. You don't have to have that. Just wanting to be happy week-to-week is good enough, you know?
Yeah, that's a great goal. That right there, that is a great goal. And you know what? You know why it's so great? Because it's actually achievable. Like, you can actually see a week in the future. You can't really see years in the future and know what things are going to be like. But a week from now, yeah, that seems feasible. I can achieve that. You know, I want to be happy this week. I want to do good this week. I've got, maybe you've got some assignment due. Maybe you've got, like, you know, you're going to have hard shift in work. I'm going to make sure that I do my best for that. Whatever it is, like, a short-term goal, however small it is to you, like, you can achieve it so much better if you're not getting fucked every night. You know?
For sure.
Who would have thought, right? Who would have thought?
For sure. So another reason on our little list of reasons is blacking out.
Oh man.
What's your experiences with blacking out, Joey?
Well, I sort of mentioned one before, you know what I mean, with the story. But I suppose I've got another story about that, actually. This is terrifying, right? Because it goes back to what we were saying, like, it doesn't really represent me, like, who I am. But I remember this one night where a friend of mine that I hadn't seen in years, she was like, oh, I'm, like, going on a night out with some people, come with, I haven't seen you in a while. I was like, yeah, sure. And she was the only person there that I knew. There was, like, I don't know, maybe five other people there, I guess, something like that. And then it got to, like, midnight, and she was like, nah, guys, I'm going home. I can't be bothered. And I was like, well, even though I don't know these guys, fuck it. I want to stay out. I want to have fun. Let's do it. Even though I don't know these guys, they seem like a jokes group of people. Let's go out and have fun. And, yeah, like, later on, when I was out on that night, I literally came to, right? I just came to. I don't know what time it was. It must have been about 2, maybe a bit later than that. I just came to, and I was in the middle of a fight. And it was the craziest thing that's ever happened to me. Like, this guy was just pushing me, arguing with me, like, pushing me. And I was like, whoa, dude, I don't remember anything that's happened from the last 2 hours. Calm down, talk to me. What's going on? You know, I was terrified. I'm not going to lie, I was terrified, because I am not the type of person to start a fight at all. Like, listen, I love martial arts. I train all sorts of martial arts. I have done for years. It's something that I love. But there is no way that I would ever do something to start a fight with somebody. There's just no way I'd do that. So clearly something happened, because people don't tend to fight for no reason. And yeah, I just couldn't figure out what it was. I was like, just talk to me, man. Like, I was talking to everyone else that was there. Like, what happened? I genuinely don't remember. And they were like, oh, whatever, lad. Like, you defo did. Well, I don't even know what they were saying. We were just arguing about something. They were pushing me about. And I was like, this is absolutely crazy. I genuinely don't have a clue what you guys are talking about. Someone help me out here. And they were
just
like,
did you ever find out?
No, even to this day, I still don't have a clue what was going on. But yeah, like, it got to the stage where we were all walking up to, like, find a taxi going home. And one of the guys was like, you're not getting in a taxi with us, lads. And I was like, shut up, mate. Come on. Like, you're going that way anyway. Just give us a lift. Yeah, come on. Like, honestly, it was the most embarrassing thing ever. And, like, I messaged someone the next day going, yo, I hope everything's okay. I genuinely don't know what's going on. And I just got blanked. And I was like, well, that's just terrifying, man. Because, like, I wasn't myself. If I hadn't blacked out and like I could see that someone was about to start a fight with me, at least then I could prepare for it. But I just woke up, bro, like bang, I'm in a fight. Oh my god, it was terrifying. Like I was like, okay, I guess we're doing this.
Yeah, coming to in a situation like that is not what you want.
It's dangerous. You know,
yeah, like, that's the other thing. It's like, seriously, it's actually dangerous, like, to black out and lose time. Like, I used to lose hours sometimes. And, you know, that would just be like a funny story, especially in uni environment. Like, oh, I can't remember anything from last night. Isn't that hilarious? It's like, no, like, you could have been in any state whatsoever. Like, anyone, like, you're so vulnerable when you're just not conscious.
Yeah, that's so true. I have another story as well, actually. I can't remember much about this story, obviously, because it's a story about blacking out. But I remember one night, like, I was drinking, and maybe there was some other stuff involved too, let's just say. And I literally don't remember an entire night out. Like, I was at, like, pre's, like, before we went out, and then I woke up the next morning and came to, and I was just like, what time is it? What day is it? Did we even go out last night? Like, what happened? And, like, I was like, who are you? Like, someone sat opposite me, and we were like, what do you mean? And I can't remember what her name was now. But she was like, we just went, like, we were on a whole night out together. Like, we were dancing together. Like, we were laughing. We were talking. Like, do you not remember when we went into the smoking area and we had that conversation? I was like, what? No.
No.
Like, the whole night had just gone. And it was like, that is a complete waste when you think about it. Because it's like, yeah, sure, I might have enjoyed it. But the only memory I have from that night was being carried home.
Like, yeah, it's like you make this narrative in your head, like, oh, I'm going out to make these amazing memories of my youth, and then you forget them all.
Exactly. So what's the point? Yeah, you just
what
you just
is
fail.
The point? And also, yeah, like having deep conversations with people, which is something I would love to do when I've been drinking, and then forgetting them. So like, I'm sure like a lot of my friends have told me some real deep trauma of theirs, and I literally have no recollection of it, which just kind of makes you feel like a bit of a shit friend, really.
Yeah, I know, right? They were probably having like a heart-to-heart tell you like how much they love you, or telling you like something that they were really struggling with in their life, and you're just there like, yeah, dear, totally, yeah. And then you wake up the next day and you just don't have a fucking clue what they're saying.
Yeah.
You know, Charlie, speaking of blacking out and whatnot, you mentioned the other day about your dissertation. Tell us about it, the title of it, what it's about. Oh, it's an interesting one.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Well, I'm presenting on it tomorrow, which I kind of regret signing up to. But no, it'll be good. I needed the motivation to get it underway. But basically what I'm trying to say with it is that, so I'm going to use John Locke's theory of personal identity to argue that you're not the same person when you're blackout drunk. Basically, simple as that.
That's a cool one. So you study philosophy, right?
Yeah, sorry, so I'm doing philosophy. And yeah, I guess I had this intuition. Obviously, we talk about this stuff a lot. But I had this feeling like when I was blackout, I wasn't doing things that I recognised. You know, people would tell me stuff that I did and I'd be like, who's that person? That's not me. That's not my morals or judgments or anything. Like, just nothing in common with that. And then, so Locke basically says that for someone to be the same person from one moment to the next, you have to hold consciousness with that person. And basically what that means is remembering, but also like re-identifying with that person. So for example, I remember what I ate for breakfast, but I also re-identify with that self and sort of recognize that self as myself. And what I want to say is that, like, if you believe that as a theory of personal identity, you can't do that when you're blackout. Like, I can't remember anything or re-identify with that self who's blackout. And thing about my dissertation is that, like, if people kind of believe it or are convinced by it, there are some really like interesting implications from that. Like, if you're not the same person when you're blackout drunk, are you responsible for the actions that you do? You know, you see it though, like in offenders and stuff can defend themselves by saying that they have no awareness, like they don't remember anything that happened, like the crime that they committed, because they were blackout. And it does happen. And also, like, you can't give sexual consent, for example, when you're drunk at all. And it's like, there must be something different about your character when you're blackout drunk. And I just think it's really sort of it hasn't really been delved into in like academic stuff. Like, but interestingly, John Locke and people around that time did actually talk about alcohol and personal identity, like letters between them and stuff. They're like, you know, is a man drunk and sober the same? Like, how can he be held responsible for his drunken actions and all this stuff? And it just hasn't really been like evaluated again recently. So that's what I'll be talking about tomorrow. And I said this to the guys before, but I don't know, but I think there's going to be wine there tomorrow, because it's like this big philosophy showcase event thing. And it's going to be wine, and the best presentation will win a prize. And I just really hope the prize is wine, because I think that'd be really funny.
That'd be hilarious. The irony of that. But you know what? That's deep, man. I like it. Young and sober, deep talks. This is good.
Deep talks. No, I'm glad that you're interested.
It's really interesting, because like it's an interesting conversation, you know. And like to approach it from a philosophical point of view with like different types of logic, it's fascinating.
Yeah, I think, yeah, personal identity has always really, really interested me. Like, what makes you the same person from one moment to the next? Is it your soul or your body or your psychological continuity? And that's kind of where the debate is. And I just kind of wanted to relate it to being drunk, because right. I like to do that. So anyway, that's enough about me. Let's get back. What were we talking about, Joey?
What were we talking about? Right. Yeah, we went off on one there. Basically, yeah, Sober Society in the University of Liverpool, you're the president of it. I joined the committee late and we asked people a bunch of questions, and we're at the moment talking about people's reasons for going sober.
Yeah. So yeah, we had a lot of people saying cultural and religious reasons. So there are a few people in SoberSoc who came from a country where alcohol is illegal. I found it really strange coming to somewhere that's so alcohol saturated, especially in the student community. I've got a close friend who's an international student and, you know, found it a bit of a shock that when they joined all these sports societies, they were already focused on drinking. And I think that from what they said, that kind of stopped them from making friends with people outside of their religion or outside of their culture, because, you know, they felt like they couldn't almost until they sort of came to SoberSoc. And now they feel like they can, which is cool.
Yeah, it is really good. That's such a good benefit of the Sober Society. Like, you can meet people and make friends. Like, you know, we just sit in a circle, we chat shit, and we make friends. We talk to people. And yeah.
Yeah, no, I do find that really interesting. Like, the difference in opinion of, like, just that the way different countries view alcohol. Like, in places that alcohol is illegal or, you know, very, like, frowned upon, someone living in a country like that coming here, that must be just such a culture shock. I can't imagine. All right, okay, I've got one final reason on the list. That is just the fact that alcohol is a poison.
Oh, yeah, this is the preachy one. but obviously, we never mean anything to come across in a preachy way, but it's just true. Like, alcohol, you know, it is actually toxic. Like, we always say, like, we drink loads and then we start throwing up and it's like, oh, I'm never drinking again, but you obviously do. But, like, imagine if you ate food that made you throw up every time, like, you started eating lots of it. Like, you would actually never eat it again. You'd be like, literally, fuck that. So why is drinking different? Like, because it seems so, like, obvious. Like, yeah, that makes me throw up. That's bad for me. Let's stop doing that.
Yeah. No, it's really not. It's really weird because it's so obvious. But then you seem like a spoilsport if you're like, alcohol is toxic.
Yeah, right.
So we just choose to ignore it instead. But it's like, that's still a brute fact. Like, we put it in our cars. It's not like fucking, we shouldn't be drinking it.
It is pretty mad when you think about it. Like, the first person to drink it must have been like, oh, this is kind of weird. It doesn't really taste very good. But oh, hang on, if I drink a little bit more. I drink a little bit more.
I feel good.
Yeah. It's pretty strange.
So, shall we move on to a new question?
Go for it. We've gone from the toxicity of alcohol, and now we're talking about what do you do for fun when you're alcohol-free?
Yeah, what do you do for fun when you're alcohol-free, Joey?
Lots of things. I've got lots of time on my hands. I've got lots of energy. I don't feel sluggish. I like sports. Like, I like training mixed martial arts. I like jiu-jitsu. I like training stuff like that. Climbing. Going climbing and, like, the climbing hangar and whatnot. I like water sports as well, like kayaking. I absolutely love kayaking. And, yeah, I like to work out. Like, believe it or not, when you're hungover and whatnot, you cannot go to the gym and work out. It's like the last thing that you want to do, but it's something that I love to do, and now I can actually do it. And, like, honestly, like, because, you know what, that's actually, like, kind of interesting, because I thought to myself, like, throughout the years of my life, I've always tried to work out more and eat healthy more and whatnot, but it was only after I got sober that I really started to dive into that a bit more and get, like, in better shape, get really healthy, and just start looking after my body and whatnot. And I haven't actually realized it until literally just this second, but being sober helped me with that, like, so much. Because my whole life I've been interested in working out and whatnot, but I could never really stick to it. I didn't have that drive to be consistent, and consistency is literally it's the most important thing. But yeah, you just can't do it if you're just going out and then you're drinking, and like we said earlier, the next 2 maybe even 3 days you're just fucked, you don't want to do anything. But yeah, it really does, like, change your life. You've got so much time.
Only you, Joey, could answer, what do you do for fun with...
Oh, shut up.
I just work out.
Shut up. I knew it was coming. As soon as I said it, I was like, oh, you know what? I don't know what I should say. This Charlie's going to find a way to slate me for this. But it's
just
true.
For those people who don't like working out, there are other things that you can do for fun when you're alcohol-free.
True.
What are mine? What are my hobbies? Well, I want to be a writer, so I like doing a lot of writing. I write little poems. I like writing little stories and articles and stuff like that, and I just never really didn't put the time into it. But I also like climbing. I also go to the hangar with Joey.
Right.
What else do I do? I'm just I feel like I'm really busy, and I like going to the cinema. I like going out for food. I like doing literally anything. Like, I can't wait until the weather gets a little bit better and we can all take trips to the beach. Soberstock, we're talking about doing a little camping trip, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
We could even go abroad. It's just so exciting.
But it's strange, though, when you think about it. Like, when people ask, what do you do for fun? It's like, well, what do? And then just minus the alcohol. Like, it's limitless when you think about it. You can literally do anything. Like,
exactly. It seems like a bit of a stupid question.
Yeah. It's like, what can't I do for fun? Like, I can literally do anything you can do.
Do you know, this is really funny. So my friend the other day, so she bought me a massage for my birthday. And we were there. We were just about to get our massage. And she was like, I've only known you for a few months, because we met in uni. And she was like, I've only known you for a few months, but we've done so many different activities together. And then I just, like, saw the little cogs working in her head. And she was like, oh, it's because you don't drink.
Whoa.
And I was like, yeah. And she just said that, and I just thought that was really nice.
That is really true. Like, I had that a sort of similar conversation with my friends. Like people meet up, and, like, they don't really do anything. Like, they just sit and drink. Talk and drink. Something and drink. Like, what do you want to do? Like, you actually want to go somewhere new? People, like, go on holiday, like, somewhere completely new to, like, a nice exotic place. And then they just drink. They just do the exact same thing they'd be doing if they were over here.
That's so true. And the thing is, what I hate more than anything is when people say, oh, you don't drink, that's so boring. I'm like, I don't sit in the same four walls drinking my whole life. I'm out there doing things, having new experiences, traveling, doing all this shit. Like, I'm not boring. You're fucking boring. Sorry, maybe that was too strong.
You're telling me. No, honestly, like, when someone says that, it is one of those things that just, roasts me the wrong way. Because here's the thing, right? I don't think, maybe it's my turn to go off on a little rant here. Who knows? But I honestly think, right, like, boredom is your brain telling you can do better. Right? You're never bored when you're good at something. Never. Like, let's say, for example, you're writing an essay for uni and you know exactly what you're writing. You find a source that perfectly amplifies the point you're trying to make. You put it in your references. Like, sure, there might be other things you'd rather be doing, but in that moment, you're not bored because you're good at it. And actually, in actual fact, the only time you're ever bored when you're good at something is when you're so good at it that it's too easy. Like, you need to challenge yourself. You need to push yourself. And boredom is, like, it's seen as a bad thing. Like, oh, that's boring. But in reality, I am a person who believes that I can do better. That's why I went sober in the first place. So if you want to say it's boring, go ahead, say it's boring. You know, boredom is your brain telling you can do better. And I believe I can do better, so I decided to change, you know? And so can you.
Also, like, whilst we're talking about holidays as well, like, I had so many holidays when I was drinking where I would just, you know, I'd go away for a week and write off 3 or 4 days. Like, okay, I'd still do stuff, but I'd be hanging out of my ass and it just would not be fun. To be fair, I've only been on I've been on one holiday and a few, like, trips around England since going sober. But I went for, like, I think I went for 8 days and it felt like ages. Like, it felt like so long. I got to know the city so well. I felt like I did so much. I crammed so much into it. But I also had really chill days where I just read my book and, like, went to the beach and stuff. Like, it wasn't, like, really full on. But it was, like, just so much of my time was wasted before.
Yeah, it's so true. Like, when you're in a new city or a new country, you want to see the place. You want to go out and do things. But if you're going out and you're just getting, like, absolutely mushed, then, yeah, you're going to feel so sluggish walking around the city. Like, oh, yeah, this is great. But then if you were sober and you were walking around your city, you'd be like, oh, yeah, this is great. Like, I remember went to Amsterdam, obviously, in Amsterdam, just you know what weed. They do there. And I remember, like, we went on, like, a little boat down the canals and whatnot, and I was just sat there, man, like, I just can't move. Like, I just can't move. I wasn't even looking at, like, all the cool houses, like, either side of the canal and whatnot. I was just sat, like, I cannot move at all. It's such a beautiful city. And yeah. I was just spent most of it looking down at my feet, like,
Literally. Yeah. What do you think about going to bars and clubs and stuff?
Now that I don't drink anymore, you mean?
Yeah.
I still do it. I don't mind. The only, like, thing that, like, I wish wasn't the case was they're just so loud, bro.
Yeah.
Like, why are you so loud? Why are you so loud? Like, I mean, honestly, because, like, you want to go and you want to talk to people and whatnot, but you feel as though you have to shout. And honestly, the next day, like, my voice hurts. Like,
that's so bad.
It's embarrassing, right? Because, like, you go into, like, uni or something the next day and your voice is hurting and people know that you've just been on a big night out just from that. And it's like, yeah, man, my voice kind of hurts. But honestly, you just got to power through and it's like, it sucks.
But isn't that funny, though? Like, that my voice being sore after a night out used to be the absolute bottom of my priorities. I couldn't have cared less. And now it's like the top of my mind. I'm like, God, I've got a sore throat. What a pain in the ass. Whereas before I was just feeling so ill that I just couldn't have even thought of that.
Yeah, I know, right? Like before it was like, oh yes, only a sore throat. That's sick. Now it's like, sore throat. Fuck.
No.
What am I going to do?
That's why I always say that my best days when I was drinking are worse than my... Wait. No, just fuck that. I'm sorry.
Wait.
My best days when I was drinking are worse than my worst days now.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you're trying to say. I get what you mean.
Is that the right way?
Okay. Even if that was, I don't know if that was the right way around enough, but we're going with it.
Because even when I have a shit day now, basically, it's better than my good days when I was drinking. Like, my worst days are still good because then.
Yeah, we got Ben nodding his head emphatically in the background there.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. But I still like going to bars and whatnot, especially if there's like a theme or something. Like if it's like an arcade bar, because it's like it's something to do. You know, like if you're feeling a bit like, this ain't for me, I want to just move away somewhere, then you can just go and play a video game. You know what I mean? Or like maybe go to a place where there's live music playing and hopefully it's not too loud again. But still, you can just sort of go like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to sit back for a second and I'm just going to listen to the music. I'm just going to watch them perform. It's something to do to sort of get out of like, if you go out and you're feeling like uncomfortable, if you're feeling any pressure, it just gives you a way out, which is a really nice thing.
Yeah, no, I agree with that so much. Like just sometimes just going to a really noisy bar and there's no other focus, like I can find that quite overwhelming. But like just doing stuff like tomorrow I'm going to this open mic poetry night to read out some poetry, which is very exciting.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously that's not for everyone. but just like having some entertainment, it's like that takes the pressure off you so much. And you can still have so much fun. You can still talk to your friends. And yeah, like I really like going out. I don't go out obviously as much as I used to, because when I used to go out I was also just trying to drink. but you know, I go out a bit and I have a great time when I do. Oh, and have you heard that there's a dry bar in Liverpool called Brink that closed down and it's reopening?
Yeah, you mentioned that. That's amazing, right? Yeah. Like, honestly, like just knowing that there's something like that out there, it sort of reminds you that like I'm not alone. you know what I mean? Like if you ever, because sometimes people do think like, what, like, you know, like all of my friends love to go out and get fucked and whatnot, and it's like, well, what am I gonna do if I don't want to do that anymore? Well, there's other people out there who literally feel the same way as you, and you can go to those bars.
Exactly. I mean? That's what I think is so important to emphasize. Like, even in the young people, like, there are so many people out there, and apparently, just to go back to the dry bar, 75% of their staff are in recovery, which I thought was also really cool.
That is fantastic. Wow. Yeah.
Okay, so we've got a sort of final question. What advice would you give to someone in early sobriety or someone that was curious to try and cut down or give up?
Big question. Great question.
Mm.
I honestly think like one of the greatest things you do is just break it down. Thinking about like going sober for the rest of your life can be quite daunting. When I decided that, yeah, this isn't for me anymore, I don't want to drink anymore, I don't want to, you know what I mean, I want to stop all of this, I didn't know how long I was going to do it for. Like, I thought to myself, like, I mean, I'm just going to do it for a month and just see what it's like. And I did it for a month, and I had one of the best months of my life. And I was like, I got so much done. I felt so much happier. I felt so much healthier. I can do it for another month. And then I did it for 3 months. And like, honestly, once you hit that 3 month mark, it just takes off from there.
Yeah, three months to 100 days. Then it's like, I'm never going back, bitch.
Yeah. It feels so normal. It's like, this is the new me now. This is the new meta.
Yeah, exactly. One thing that I thought was really nice that someone from Sober Stock said is you're more confident than you think you are.
Oh, beautiful.
And you really learn that in sobriety, I think. You know, at first you're like, oh no, I couldn't do this or that or this with, like, you know, I couldn't dance or drink or, sorry, not drink. I couldn't dance or like flirt with someone without drinking. And it's like, yes, you can. You are more confident than you think you are. You don't need anything extra to add to you. You're perfect as you are. Like, you can sort of manifest this power, and like, okay, yeah, it takes a bit of practice and it's a bit scary, but you get more and more confident, and like, believing in that is like half of the work, you know.
Honestly, it is such a daunting thing, because you know, like, everyone else around you is drinking and whatnot, but you're not. It's like, well, think about it this way, like, you're on a higher level than them, you know what I mean? Like, you have like a higher like cognitive capacity than they do right now, because even when you just drink a little bit and you're not drinking at all, you're going to be so much more confident than they are, because they're only confident because they're drinking and whatnot, but you're confident without it. And like that, like, not needing anything to be confident, just being confident, that right there, like, that's the highest level of confidence. You don't need anything.
Yeah, so
you can just
powerful
be yourself.
Really powerful. So another thing someone else said was give yourself a fair chance and don't give up before you've really begun. So I think this is really common. People sort of try it for a few days or a week or whatever, and they're like, not for me, or like, they found it a bit hard or whatever. And it's like, I do think you've got to give yourself a fair chance. Like, break it down, but don't just be like, okay, I've done this for a few days and it hasn't done anything for me, because, you know, obviously there is a little bit of graft involved. And don't sort of if you tell yourself I can do this, then, you know, you're just so much better set up to be able to do it. If you tell yourself I can't do it, I can't go a week without drinking, like, I could never do that, then that's what will happen. Like, your brain is wired to win. Like, whatever you think, that will become true. So if you say from the start, I can't go a week without drinking, you're just setting yourself up to fail, basically.
Yeah, you literally are. Like, it's never going to happen if you keep saying that. Just say, like, I can go a day. I can go 2 days. I can go 3 days. I can do that.
Yeah.
I know I can do that. Like, I'm sure there are people out there who drink and they've gone 2-3 days without drinking. You can do it again. And if you're going to do 2-3 days, you can do 4. Like, you can do it. It sounds sounds a bit cliche, but it's just willpower, isn't it? It literally is willpower. And willpower takes practice. Like you said, like, it's not going to be the easiest thing in the world the moment that you do it.
I honestly think it doesn't have to be really hard willpower, though. Like, I really think if you sort of change your attitude and you start seeing it, instead of seeing it as, like, you know, using all your willpower to give up this thing that's amazing, you switch it around in your head and be like, oh, actually, I'm gaining so many amazing things rather than losing out, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. Like, looking at what you have to gain rather than looking at what you have to lose. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Changing that mindset is that'll help you with everything.
Another one is get out there and do stuff. There's a whole world waiting to be explored. I like that one.
Yeah, we got that written in all caps right here. Yes.
Yeah.
It is so true. Like, get out there and do stuff. Don't just sit around. Like, there are things to do. There are people to see. There are places to go. Like, you don't have to just sit around and think, well, this sucks. Like, what am I going to do? You can still go out. You can find things to do. If there's a hobby that you've always wanted to try, but you haven't had the time or like, maybe the confidence to do it, now you've got it. Now's the time. Go do it. Put yourself out there.
Yeah, no, I'm so excited. Like, there's just so much I want to do in life. And, like, I'm 24 now. I gave up drinking when I was 22. When I'm 32, I would have been sober for 10 years. And, like, that in itself is enough for me to be like, I'm so glad that I quit drinking when I was young. Because, like, I would have had 10 years of just raw living life experiences without it being fogged up or dulled down by alcohol. And, like, that is just the gift that will keep on giving. I keep saying cliche things.
This sounds cliche, not gonna lie to you, but no, you're right though. Like, you're not wrong. Like when I think to the future and think about all the things that I can achieve, like, sometimes, like we said earlier, you know, like, it's hard to think so hard into so far into the future, but when you realize, like, I'm gonna live until I'm what, like, 60 at least? Do you know what I mean? I mean, like, I plan to live until I'm 125. That is my goal. That is my goal. I can do it. I believe I can do it. I know I can do it.
If you tell yourself you can't do it, then you've set yourself up to fail, Joe.
Exactly. Your brain's wired to win, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but literally, right? Like, I know that I can do that. I just have to look after myself. And I know that, something like that is never going to happen if I keep drinking. It's never going to happen. Like, the sooner... Like, people sort of think that, like, life is short. It's not when you think about it. Like, we live for, what, like, at least 60, 80 years? You know what I mean? If you live a good life, you live for, what, like, 80 years? When you think about it, like, the sooner that you go sober, the happier you're going to be for longer. Mm. Like, if you wait until, like, your 30s or 40s, you're only going to have, like, 30, 40 years of being alcohol-free. But the sooner you do it, the longer you're going to have being alcohol-free. Mm. And that's just going to open up so many opportunities for you. Like this, like an opportunity like this, like talking to all of you people listening right now. Like, it's just a mad thing.
Yeah, this would never, obviously it wouldn't have happened if I was still drinking.
Yeah, obviously.
But you do feel a bit like sort of opportunities fall into your lap when you quit drinking. And I do really believe that. Another thing someone said is be kind to yourself if you slip up. And I think that's so important because nobody's perfect. Me and Joey both sort of took it step by step. I had quite a few alcohol breaks before I even considered giving up for good. Like, I would never, ever have thought I could give up for good, like, the first time I took a month off. And some people in Sober Sock actually do drink occasionally, and obviously we're repping the fully sober life, and we're all for the sober life, but, you know, don't feel put off or disheartened or like you don't belong in this community just because you're not quite ready to do that yet. Like, that's okay. And if you want to do it but keep slipping up, that's okay as well. Like, there's no pressure. Like, even if you're back to day one 100 times, like, we don't care, you still belong here. It's fine.
Like, the fact that you're consciously thinking about it and putting in the effort, that alone is something to be proud of. Like, I know someone who said she went 17 days sober and actually started again, and I was like, that's fantastic, well done. Like, seriously, most people haven't even thought to do that, let alone actually do it. You know what I mean? Like, intrinsic value is often superior to extrinsic value. It's not always about what you're getting out of it. It's about what you're putting into it.
Yeah.
And just being proud of that. Like, being proud of yourself for taking the time to think, maybe this is the best for me. Maybe I can do better. And then actually doing it, like, that's a whole other reason to be proud of yourself. Like, what you put into it is everything. And the more you put in, the more you're going to get out, you know?
Exactly. What would you say sort of the climate's like at the moment for young people?
Sometimes people still get surprised when, like, I say, like, you know, like, I'm sober and whatnot, don't drink. But maybe there is, like, a little bit of a pressure there still that some people still feel. But honestly, I really do think, like, so many things are changing. It is becoming more of a conversation that people are having. I was with someone today and she was saying to me, like, I don't really like drinking that much. It's not really for me. And it's like, fantastic. Good for you. You know what I mean? Like, you're actually thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Like, the conversation is there to be had and people are having it more so now than I think ever before.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people at Sober, when we were at Sober Circle, they were kind of saying that, like, there is still a pressure. There is still a uni kind of drinking culture. Societies still have socials that are focused on drinking. But that's not to say that things aren't changing. They might be changing slowly, but, you know, any change in the right direction is a good thing. And we were saying as well, like, I've been watching The Apprentice, which is just absolutely hilarious. And they were making a non-alcoholic drink on The Apprentice.
Oh, yeah. They had a whole episode. Literally a whole episode on making a non-alcoholic drink. Like, that would not have happened, like, several decades ago. And, like, someone said as well in the Sober Society, like, the alcohol-free section in Asda has doubled. You know what I mean? Like, you just wouldn't think stuff like that. Like, people are becoming, like, more aware of it. And, like, even when I go on Instagram as well and social media, there are so many pages out there, like, sober, like, just all about being sober and, like, going to dry bars and, like, promoting each other and whatnot. Like, the atmosphere around sobriety and being alcohol free like, it absolutely is growing.
So me and Joey are trying to do our bit and show people that you don't have to wait to go sober. There's no reason to. In fact, there's a reason to go sober sooner. And if you know someone who is young and might struggle with alcohol or, you know, is a bit sober curious, like, please share this with them, because we, if anything, want them to know that they're not alone and that there are plenty of us out there. And we were looking before at the list of countries that our podcast has been listened to in, and it's quite long, isn't it, Joey?
Yeah, honestly, like, obviously this country, United Kingdom, we've got the US, Australia, Ireland, Canada, New Zealand, France, Singapore, Spain, United Arab Emirates. Like, we're all over the place, bro. Like, it's growing. The movement is definitely growing. We're doing
Netherlands, Switzerland, Germany, Mexico. Yeah. We're everywhere. And if you can spread that in any way, please do. We appreciate it very much.
Yeah, thank you all so much for listening. This is, as you know, Over the Influence. This is Young and Sober. We'll be taking over the podcast the first Monday every month. No. Last Monday, which one is the last one? The last one. Hey, we'll run with it, whatever. Last Monday every month for the rest of the year. Thank you all so much for listening. Peace.